Hello, this is Tofu Dave. On Between the Covers, a literature quickie on your community radio station, WCOMLP, Chapel Hill, and Carborough. Today, I'm pleased to have the author of a new book on a serious topic. Catherine Corcoran just wrote a book called In the Mouth of the Wolf, A Murder, A Cover-Up, and the True Cost of Silencing the Press. Hello, Catherine. Are you with us today?
Yes. Hello. Hello, Dave. Thank you for having me.
Yes, this book really moved me. Been to Mexico quite a few times. I have a number of friends here in the Carborough Chapel Hill area that are from Mexico. And your book is a quite upsetting account of the state of journalism in Mexico. It's centered on your time beginning when you were working for the Associated Press, I believe, in Mexico City, and you heard of, sadly, the death, really the murder, of a well-known female journalist in Mexico. You want to tell us a little bit about what got you moving on this story here?
Yes, when I started my job as bureau chief for the Associated Press in Mexico and Central America, it was right after a spike in journalist killings. Before about 2006, I would say that's when the spike started. But before that, Mexico was a pretty calm country, pretty easy place to get around and do stories, and because I had done it myself. Then all of a sudden, this spike in journalist killings, and we were living it on two levels, I say. We were covering the stories, but also these killings caused to us to change the way we cover Mexico and the security protocols and things we didn't really need in the past. So it was really all around us. We were living it. And then when I read that Regina Martinez had been murdered, it really stopped me, because up to that point, the government would say that these journalists who were murdered were corrupt, and that's why they were killed. They were in with the wrong people. And hers was the first and the most high-profile case where we could say, no, that's not what's going on here. She was very well respected. I tried to hire her once at the AP to write a story for us. She met the standards of the AP. She was, and so to say that they were all corrupt, suddenly we knew something else was going on here. It was difficult to know because there were no investigations and no transparency around these cases, but you couldn't argue that she was corrupt. So it was really a case that affected the whole country and affected me quite a bit as well.
And doesn't it also have the effect, in a sense, of shutting down reporting? Because if reporters start to be literally afraid that they may not only possibly be scared, but actually murdered, doesn't a form of self-censorship also set in for people?
Yes, absolutely. The self-censorship as a result of these killings was very high. In the case of Regina Martinez, the other journalists in the state where she was working, Veracruz, a lot of them had to leave for their safety after her killing. Their media companies pulled them out for their safety, or they went into self-exile. But it had a huge impact on silencing the press, because people were afraid, and journalists around the country, it really changed the sensibility of journalists around the country, because when they hit her, every journalist said, oh, well, I could be a victim before they can come after me.
What amazed me in your book, again, we're talking about your book, In the Mouth of the Wolf, A Murder, A Cover-Up, and the True Cost of Silencing the Press, about the death of a journalist in Mexico. One of the things that really got me in your book is how high this goes up into the Mexican state, the extent to which senior people in government and military are involved in this kind of violence against freedom of speech astounded me.
It is.
How high did it go in this particular case?
Well, it went at least to the state government, to the governor of the state at the time. It's very difficult to prove because the government obviously controls everything, so they can control the story and they control the investigation and the justice system. And there are several very high profile cases in Mexico that have this same pattern. And so it's very difficult, but in this case, I'm not really sure that there was any federal government involvement, but clearly state government involvement up to the governor's office.
Catherine Corcoran, In the Mouth of the Wolf. Now, also it reminded me this week, a big article came out in the New York Times based on a ProPublica study of another case, not directly related, but indirectly related, because there was a general, Cienfuegos, who was actually very high up in the federal government of Mexico, who was arrested entering the United States because a lot of the evidence, at least in this report, pointed to his involvement in the drug trade and the narcos. And after all this work to arrest the guy, he's released and he's free. And I guess in your book, I'm not sure to the extent you can really prove it, but there also seemed to be some involvement between the government officials who were attacking the press and the narcotraficantes, the people that trade in drugs. Was that also the case in what you found?
Yes, there was a lot of circumstantial evidence that the previous governor to the one who was in charge when Regina Martinez was murdered, that he had made some kind of pact with a drug cartel to allow them to operate in the state, and he would have the benefit of, they would pay him to allow them to operate in the state. That was always rumored, and there were articles that he was being investigated, but nothing really ever came out of it. But it was clear that there was some kind of collusion between at least some government forces and the cartels. But in this case, and one of the things I wanted to show in the book, is that the government became the organized crime itself. They were doing all kinds of things. They were stealing money. They were disappearing people. It sort of became like, in the past, maybe the politicians would collude with the narcos, but the cases became so extreme, the corruption became so extreme, it became like, hey, well, let's just run the operation ourselves. And these people had the full resources of the government, the police forces, the justice system, the treasury. The police in Veracruz at this time acted as death squads or disappeared people, and they were the police, the state police.
It's terrible and frightening. As one reviewer said, your book is about publish and perish, the investigation into the death of Regina Martinez. The book, again, In the Mouth of the Wolf, and we're talking with Catherine Corcoran. Catherine, if you'll permit me, for my Spanish-speaking listeners, I want to take a quick aside, if my English speakers will forgive me. Una cosa bien interesante en su libro para mí, es que hay algunas palabras que yo no he conocido. Yo, si puedo decir algunas palabras chilangüeses que le usan en el DF, supongo, o no sé. Algunas palabras muy extrañas para mí y muy interesante en su uso aquí en el libro. ¿Qué piensas sobre el uso de estas palabras? No son bien intelectuales, no son académicos, son palabras que se usan gente en las calles, por lo menos, ¿no?
Sí, que incluye en el libro como el slang.
Sí.
Sí, sí. Para mí, hay muchas cosas en el libro sobre lo bueno en México. México es un país lindísimo, es un encanto, ¿no? Entonces, parte de este encanto es cómo se habla español en México. Es un idioma como una mezcla de muchas cosas del mundo y muchas influencias. Y hay una slang bien interesante con un hispanohablante que llega a México. Es difícil entender muchas cosas, muchas frases, muchos dichos. Y para mí me fascina. Y tuve que aprender todo eso. Por ejemplo, si alguien me dijo, no tengo ejemplo, ¿a qué palabra te refieres? Y te digo algo.
Hay muchos, pero muchas gracias. Y let's go back to English for the rest of our listeners. We had a little aside of interest to some of us, but now also to wrap up, I understand you're trying to do something about all this to the extent that you can. As a foreigner, you're involved with something called Master Lab. That's a program to help assist journalists in Mexico City, I believe. In closing, would you like to just tell us a little about that so we can leave with a little hope for the future of journalism in Mexico?
Yes, this is a program that I created with a Mexican journalist. She and I together, between the two of us, came up with the idea. And her idea was that we need to train the editors, the leaders in the newsroom, because there's very little training for editors, and they're the ones who can be in charge of security and be in charge of, you know, backing these journalists and keeping them safe. And so we created this program, Master Lab, for editors in Mexico. And we've trained two classes so far, more than 40 editors. We're very excited about it. It's a wonderful program. It's creating a great community of journalists in Mexico. And part of the idea is to help media do investigations, but stay safe. And so we are, we have classes, we have training, we have workshops, and it's really a great, fulfilling program. And there are so many good journalists in Mexico wanting to do the right thing, wanting to speak truth to power. And what they really need is support from everywhere. And so this is just our little piece that we can contribute. But these journalists are very brave. They're operating in very difficult circumstances. They're not paid well, but they believe that independent critical journalism is important to the democracy, to maintain and grow the democracy in Mexico. And that's why they do it. And they need as much support as we can give them. Thank you for having me, and thank you for your interest in the book.
Again, this is Tofu Dave. Between the Covers, a literature quickie on your community radio station on WCOM-FM, Chapel Hill, and Carver. See you next time on Between the Covers.